If you want to turn over with me to Philippians chapter 3, we're going through the book of Philippians. Yeah, we may get to finish up Philippians chapter 3 this morning. But in Philippians chapter 3, and starting with verse 16, it says, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the word of God. I thank you for scripture. I thank you that it comes alive. I just pray that you will speak to each and every one here today, that you open up their hearts and their souls and just convict them and encourage them and bless them. We thank you that we can continue to learn, that we can continue to grow, and that we can continue to understand the word of God and have a better relationship with you. Just pray that you'll speak through me this morning, Lord, and just allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide this morning. And we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. We tackled verse 16 a little bit last week, but I want to, again, the reason I do expository preaching is to stay in the context of what is happening. And this whole thing of Philippians is having that mind of Christ. And the same thing with verse 16, "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." He brought it up in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, "Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded." Again, the Apostle Paul had a heart for everyone to be like-minded. So we want to have the mind of Christ. He goes on in verse 17, he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample." And we're going to be in verse 17 for most of the sermon today. And you may say, who is this guy? Who is this Apostle Paul? How can he say, "Brethren, be followers together of me"? That seems like a pretty bold claim. And if I ever say it from the pulpit, you can slap me, you can hit me, you can do whatever you want. But don't. I mean, again, we need to find out who this Apostle Paul is. And if you want to first turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, two things I want to point out. First off, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God." So whatever the Apostle Paul said was inspired by the Word of God, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit, is God-breathed. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." So the Apostle Paul didn't make up what he said. He's not being prideful. He's not being, you know, some arrogant person. But this is what the Lord Jesus Christ called him to speak. And if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2:15, the second thing that is said here, the Apostle Paul says, is, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." There's multiple things in this passage. And number one, it says, "Study to show thyself approved." I can't do the studying for you. I can't help you study. I mean, I can help you study, but it's your job to study the word of God. It's your job to be a Berean. I tell you to take notes today to find out what you believe about the scriptures. You may hear something today that you've never heard before. Take a note. Ask a question. Let's find out what the truth is. I try my best to preach the truth. I'm not always going to know the truth. I'm not always going to have all the answers, but I'm going to preach from the Word of God. And that's why I bring so many verses into it when I preach. So it's your job to study. The second thing that I love that he says is to rightly divide the Word of truth. So again, like I said, who is this Apostle Paul? He begins each and every one of his scriptures, or the books of the Bible. You can look at the beginning of Philippians. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ. He says it there at the beginning of Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul is an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called. He is chosen. Turn over with me to Galatians chapter 1. Let's find out who the Apostle Paul is. And again, most of us know him as Saul. He was blinded on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded to be saved. Same thing in Galatians 1:1. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. He was not taught anything from man. We can see this in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. So the Apostle Paul has a gospel, which is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ that was revealed to him. And in verse 12, he says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul was revealed a message that was given to him, which was the gospel, which says in verse 11, which was preached of me is not after man. The 12 did not teach him. The Old Testament didn't teach him. It didn't come from anyone but by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He continues on in verse 13, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. So this is what he was doing beforehand. And profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Again, we get stuck on traditions. We got to go back to the Word of God and study. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. So the most important thing to see is a couple things. Number one, that he was chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was an apostle not of man, neither by man, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not taught anything from the 12 disciples. So we can see this guy, Paul, is an important person. And in Philippians here, chapter 3, he says it time and time again. He says, follow me. Like I said, he's not being arrogant. He's not being prideful. He is writing what the Holy Spirit tells him to write. And I believe that follow me, first of all, that no other man besides the Lord Jesus Christ ever says to follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Moses, Abraham, the 12 never said follow me, but the Apostle Paul says follow me, and he says it three times, and we're going to look at those. If you want to turn over with me to Romans chapter 11. So two things, I think. Number one, he is talking about the doctrine. He's talking about the doctrine of the age of grace, the mystery program, which we're going to dive into today. He's not talking about him as a person. He's not saying, follow me because I'm better than everyone else. Follow me because I know everything. He's saying, follow doctrine. Follow truth. In Romans chapter 11, verse 13, he says, for I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. It's his position. It's not anything to do with how he is, who he was, again, the Apostle Paul is an amazing man, but it's about doctrine. You know, as a person, I would hate to say, hey, come follow me. You know, the minute you say you're going to run for president, they can find anything they want on you. I would never say, hey, come follow me. I say, come follow the Word of God. We've got to study the Word of God. But the Apostle Paul was called to tell that because he was an apostle to the Gentiles. He says it three times. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16, he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Again, the Apostle Paul says, be followers of me. Again, we follow Christ through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Jesus Christ is the most important thing in the book of the Bible. But again, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ through the Apostle Paul, what he teaches us. The Apostle Paul is no different than Moses. But again, you've got to know who the Word of God is written to. If you look at Romans chapter 15:4, the very crucial verse, look at Romans 15:4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4, he says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. So the Apostle Paul here is saying anything that I've written that is written before me is written for our learning. We can't take it and apply it. We can't take it and use it. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. We can learn from the Apostle Paul. We can learn from what he has received. But the Apostle Paul has received the age of grace, this mystery program that we can learn from and grow from. The other section that he talks about, follow me, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But we'll jump back to verse 10 to see what's going on. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And at the end of chapter 10, it says, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. His goal is to save the world. His goal is to save the people. In verse 11:1, he says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Again, he's calling us to follow him the way that he follows Christ. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, to try to help understand this a little bit better. And I use a lot of verses because I want to prove the Word of God. It's not my opinion, but it's the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Again, the Apostle Paul has the blueprints. He has the plans. The Lord Jesus Christ is our foundation. And the Apostle Paul says, I have the blueprints. The mystery, the age of grace, this is what was revealed to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many things that are inside the mystery program. The rapture is nowhere else talked about in Scripture except the Pauline epistles. The rapture, the body of Christ is nowhere else talked about except for in Pauline epistles. The death, burial, and resurrection for salvation is nowhere else talked about except for in Pauline epistles. Look back with me to Luke chapter 18. I was glad in Sunday school we were talking about this. And Van brought it up. But in Luke chapter 18, you may say, oh yeah, they knew about the death, burial, and resurrection. They knew about it. The Lord Jesus Christ prophesied it. But it had nothing to do with salvation. It had nothing to do with Peter and the 12 didn't even believe it would happen. But if you look at Luke chapter 18, verse 31, it says, then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them. So he's talking to the 12 disciples. Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So again, all this is written by the prophets. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked, spitefully entreated, and spitted on, and shall scourge him, and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Here we are talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they do it again in another passage in the Gospels. But this is telling the 12, this is what's going to happen. And the 12 say, good deal, I believe it, it's going to happen. No, if you read verse 34, it says, and they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither they knew the things that which were spoken. Again, there's another passage where Peter says, you know, it's not going to happen, Lord. He began to argue with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and say, it's not going to happen. The death, burial, and resurrection for salvation was not brought up until the Apostle Paul was saved, until the message was revealed to him. Look at Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Again, Paul says my gospel. He's not being prideful. He's not being arrogant. This is what the Holy Spirit told him to write. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. The mystery, the secret, since the world began, was not revealed until the Apostle Paul. I know if we tell a secret today, if I tell my wife a secret, she's going to tell one friend, and that one friend's going to tell. But when it's hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ, this secret is not revealed until he gives it to somebody. Spouses can't keep secrets, right? It doesn't work that way. But in verse 26, it says, but now is made manifest. Again, there was a secret that was revealed to the Apostle Paul that was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 25 and 26. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. Again, I meant to talk about this a little bit ago, but the word dispensation basically means, the Greek word for dispensation is oikonomia. Basically means household of rules, or it's a time period of dispensing. Again, a couple different ways to understand that. Adam and Eve had different set of rules than we do today. And a lot of people divide Old Testament and New Testament up, but I believe we've got to take it a step further. And there's throughout the Old Testament, there's a dispensing of time periods. Dispensation of innocence, dispensation of conscience, dispensation of law. And today we're in the dispensation of the age of grace, because this is what was revealed to the Apostle Paul. We are in this time period. It says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Without this, we can't fulfill the word of God. Verse 26, even the mystery, which hath been hidden from ages and from generations, but now. Again, that but now is revealed, made manifest to his saints, which is us. We have been revealed the secret through the Apostle Paul. We have to understand what the Apostle Paul's talking about, what he's teaching us. Look at 1 Timothy 1:16. Like I told you, I told you we'd jump around today. Go home and read these verses. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. So how can the Apostle Paul say, I'm the first one? I believe he was the first one in the body of Christ. He was revealed the secret. The minute that he understood what the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to do, he was placed into the body of Christ. And at that point, it was his time to go on and spread the message to the Gentiles. It says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. We all know what a pattern is. The Apostle Paul is our pattern. If I tell Eliza at 3 years old to trace this out and cut it out, that's a pattern. We want to pattern what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us, which he has called us, the Apostle Paul, to be our pattern. That is what it is. Jump back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. It says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has called him to write. And I began studying the difference between example and ensample. To me, it's the same word. I learned it's not. But again, you got to dig into the Word of God. The best definition that I can explain it is if I have a box of donuts here and I tell you to go try that box of donuts over there, that's an example. But the minute I tell you to try a donut out of this box, it becomes an ensample. So again, the Apostle Paul is saying, I am the ensample. You follow me, you watch me, you do everything I tell you to do. And you can even see that in Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Philippians 4, 9 says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Pretty simple. That's what we're called to do. He is our ensample. Again, the nation of Israel, the Old Testament, we can use them as an example. There's characteristics. We can learn about the love of God. We can learn about everything going on. But if we want to understand our position in Christ, if we want to understand salvation today, if we want to understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have to use Pauline epistles. He is our ensample. And here he's telling us, if you look at Romans 16, verse 17, jump back there real quick. Here in Philippians, he's saying, hey, use them as an ensample. Paul. Romans chapter 16, verses 17, he says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So again, over here, he's telling us this is the example and sample. He's telling us to follow the Apostle Paul, do what the Apostle Paul calls us to do. This is what we are. Over here, he's telling us to avoid them. And I don't believe he does that to be, oh, look at me. I'm different. I'm better. If you go on to verse 18 of Philippians, it says, for many walk of whom I have told you often and now telling you even weeping. He had a desire for all men to be saved. He was just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in his he sinned. I'm not saying like that. But he had a desire for all men to be saved. He wept for them. He cried for them. So when he could see, he would mark that one and say, okay, that one's going the wrong way. This one, we can encourage each other. We can uplift each other. We can do things. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. It goes on in verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. A lot of versions change that to citizenship, for our citizenship is in heaven. And I don't mind that. It's a good analogy. We are already seated in the heavenlies. But when you change it to for our conversation is in heaven, it's everyday life. It's not just I'm in heaven. I don't have to worry about it. Our conversation is in heaven each and every day. Every aspect of our life, every aspect of what we do. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. Oh, what a glorious day. We've all lost loved ones. We've all lost people that are close to us. But they are rejoicing with their glorious body. I will no longer be ugly, I promise. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Again, the Apostle Paul tells us that he is our example to follow. He's our ensample. All those verses I read, it talks about, again, maybe you don't fully understand dispensationalism, but the biggest division in the Word of God is between the mystery and prophecy. Throughout Scripture, there's a lot of things that were prophesied. Jesus Christ is going to come to the earth, he's going to be born Virgin Mary, he'll live a perfect, sinless life, he will be crucified. All that is prophesied. But then when we get to the Apostle Paul, he talks about the mystery. And you can even read scriptures about the rapture being a mystery. It was hidden in God. You can read about the body of Christ. You can read about the death, burial, and resurrection. And the gospel for today is that we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Again, he said, my gospel, and here it is, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. If we put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's nothing we can add to it, there's nothing we can take away from it. That is our salvation. And you may say to me today, well, why did he hide this secret? Why was this message revealed only to the Apostle Paul? Why wasn't it from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of times? And don't get me wrong, the death, burial, and resurrection took care of all sins. Even Adam and Eve's sins, Moses' sins, Abraham's sins, it handled it all. But if you turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and we'll wrap this up, it had to be a secret. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If the 12 knew that Jesus Christ was going to the cross of Calvary, was going to pay for their sins and raise again the third day, don't you think Satan would have known it? It says right here, which none of the princes of this world had known, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The only secret that was ever kept forever until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And it says, but now is made manifest to the Apostle Paul. It is revealed through him. We don't worship Paul. We don't. Again, he's no different than Moses. He's no different than Abraham. Jesus Christ is the ultimate thing. But he is our blueprint to learn from, to grow from, to understand the scriptures. When we can begin to rightly divide the word of truth between what is prophesied and what was kept secret for the Apostle Paul, we can begin to understand scripture. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the word of God. We just thank you for the life of the Apostle Paul. We just pray that we can say those same words. We can be an example. Teach people doctrine. Teach people truth. Teach people the right division. Teach people the difference between prophecy and mystery. The Apostle Paul was revealed a message from you, that the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation would save everyone if they put their faith and trust in it. The 12 preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The 12 were preaching to the nation of Israel. In Matthew chapter 10, it says, go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Do not go unto the way of the Gentiles. But then the Apostle Paul gets saved and says, hey, I've got the message for the body of Christ. We just thank you for the word of God, and we thank you that when we dissect it, we can understand it, we can learn from it, we can grow from it. I pray that everybody will go home and be a Berean and study the word of God themselves so they can understand it for themselves. And we pray in your precious son's name. Amen.